Did you get one of these? Yes, okay. Black and white's my favorite.
Good afternoon. So, is everyone excited about court costs? Yay! Yeah, let's hear some cheering for Rhonda. So, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Rhonda. She's the court administrator in the city of Brenham. She's a municipal court level 3. Congratulations.
Yay.
Yeah. We're very proud of her.
Yeah.
You have a bachelor's degree in history.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed. I love history.
Yeah.
She's a director at large for the TCCCA, and she serves as a chairperson for the Public Relations Committee. And she's a member of the Gulf Coast chapter of TCCA. I've sat in on her court cost class before, and it's very interesting. You learn a lot from her, so please give her a warm welcome.
Well, thank you. I haven't sat in on bond forfeitures, and I don't intend to anytime soon. I'll just tell you that right now. You're going to have to get another topic. No, it's so nice to be here this afternoon. I flew in from Houston this morning, and that was an adventure. But I made it here safely, so that's a good thing. It's a good thing. I was thinking I was going to be rushed, but I made it. Does anybody know where Brenham is?
Yeah.
One? Two? Okay.
I was going to say, I've been to the Brenham Sift more than once.
Oh, my Lord, the pig sift.
Yes, ma'am.
For the Houston Life Section. Well, we have more than the pig sift there.
I know that.
Yes. Yes. Yes, that's a big thing when the pig sift comes. Nobody else goes out in town. No, you can't go to your restaurants or anything because everybody else is in town. Right. But I'm from a town of about 14,000. I'm about halfway between Houston and Austin on a major highway. We handle about, this year is probably going to be 7,000 to 8,000 cases at the rate we're going. And I just started teaching court cost a year ago, I guess. And if you want to really learn something really well, start teaching it because you'll get all kinds of questions. You have all kinds of things that pop up. So I don't claim to know everything. There usually is a question or two that'll pop up and I'll be like, oh, I don't know. That's a good question. But we'll try to find out. And anybody can feel free to call me afterwards. I usually get a couple of calls after the seminar is over. So anybody that needs any help with that, I'll be more than happy to help you, okay? Don't panic if you didn't bring your offense list. It's not the end of the world. I kind of changed it from having or asking everybody to bring their offense list to if we have time at the end, and hopefully we will, we're going to pick a couple of violations and go through the court cost and what we should be charging on those violations. So I think that helps people a lot more than looking at each fine list from each different city. We do have a PowerPoint and we do have some interactive notes. Did everybody get those notes? Okay. It follows the PowerPoint to an extent and then it falls off. And we're going to go over all of the interactive notes. There's probably going to be some slides here that we'll skip over, especially those slides don't affect anybody. Like for one, it's red light cameras. If nobody's doing red light cameras in here, you're probably not interested and you don't ever want to hear red light cameras. You don't want to know anything about red light cameras. And if you are doing red light cameras, you probably already know everything that there is to know about it. But please don't hesitate to ask questions, get up, move around. It's a 2-hour class. We're usually here the full 2 hours. If we need to take a break, just say, hey, I need a break, or, you know, just feel free to get up and walk out, okay? We're going to jump in, and first, before I do that, in your materials, you should have, I guess, the printout of the PowerPoint, and then there should be a chart in there. It's a couple of pages. It should look like this. It has all the different court costs. We may be looking at that quite a bit once we get into this. It's a really good tool. How many of you have seen this before? It's a utilization table, court cost, fees, and selected fines, it says at the top. Has nobody seen it before? Oh, well, good. That's good, because I like that. Pearland, you came all the way. We could have flew together. Lord. Yeah, I could have came yesterday and stayed extra night. Miss Pat. I saw Miss Pat last week. Oh, don't even tell me that. Now I'm not going to be able to teach the rest of the afternoon. You tell me somebody's in Hawaii where I should be. Now I'm in Odessa. Okay. This is a really good tool to use. It has every single court cost or fee that we can collect, and it tells you the legal reference, where to find your authority to collect that fee. It tells you the amount that the fee should be, what the state's share is, if there any part of that we have to send in to the comptroller is, what the city's share is, and then the use of the local share tells us if we're required to use that fee in a certain way, our city. So we're going to look at this throughout, so you might want to take it out or kind of be able to get to it kind of quickly. Okay, a lot of this, the first part of the material, you already know, I'm sure. How many of you are responsible for doing the court cost, for sending in the quarterly report? Okay, so there's a couple in here. Okay, so if you're doing the court cost every quarter, you're sending it in, you're responsible for filling out the report and sending it in to the state, then you know that the court costs are reported to the state comptroller on a quarterly basis. A judge may waive court cost only... Oh, wait, let me go back. I don't know if this is in your notes or not, but that when we have to report it on a quarterly basis, that means by the last day of the month following each quarter. So January to March is the first quarter of the year. Your court costs are due by April 30th. So you always have 1 month past the end of the quarter to send in your report. If you don't send it in by that date, then you lose your share of the court cost. And we're going to look at those, our share, in just a moment. But if you file it timely, then you get to keep your share of the court cost. So just know, if you're the clerk and you're responsible for doing that, make sure that you're getting it in, because you're probably going to cost your city some money if you don't. Yes, ma'am.
If it's a one-time thing and you have a good cost for missing it, you can contact them and
send something
in
writing,
and they will waive
that. She's saying if you miss a cost, you didn't send it into the state, you can contact them, and they will do what? So they let you keep your portion because you notified them. So yes, because, and that could very well happen in a lot of small cities where there is nobody else to really do the report, or they may not know how to do the report, and illness pops up and it doesn't get done. So just know you can contact the comptroller's office.
They will only do that once, is what they told me.
Yeah. A one-time thing. Maybe. Yeah, don't make it a rare thing. Yeah.
All I can tell you is no.
Right. Right.
You've got to ask.
Okay, a judge may waive court cost in two instances. One is when teen court is granted. And two, the second instance is if an indigent defendant defaults in payment of a fine or cost and community service would be an undue hardship. So if your judge finds a defendant to be indigent, then he or she can waive the court cost. Oh, I left that out. Court costs are due upon conviction also. That means when judgment is rendered, a sentence is proclaimed or deferred, or driving safety course is requested. So if your judge is ordering them to pay the fine, court costs are due upon conviction. If they're ordering driving safety course or deferred, court costs are due. When a defendant has insufficient resources or income to pay a fine or cost, a judge may require community service in payment of the fine and or court cost. It's to be credited at not less than $50 toward the fine for every 8 hours. You can give them more, you just can't give them less than $50 for every 8 hours. If a defendant has served time in jail for committing the offense or for any warrants associated with the offense, a judge must credit the defendant for time served. So if you have a defendant, somebody that has an outstanding warrant in your court and they're arrested in another county on a different charge, on a new charge in that county, technically they don't get time served for your charge. Okay? Until that warrant is served, your warrant is served, from the time that the warrant is served, that's when the jail time starts. That's when they start earning jail credit. And I'm sure you have a lot of people that call you up and say, I was in TDC, I was in jail in some other county, and I laid this out. And you say, no, you didn't, because you wasn't in there on our charge. And they get mad. But... okay, we're going to look at a breakdown of the court costs that we can charge. State consolidated fee. The state consolidated fee is $40. And if we timely file it every quarter, then we get to keep 10% of that $40. State traffic fee is $30, and we get to keep 5%. Now, this state traffic fee, this $30 is only collected on what kind of charges, what kind of offenses? The $30 state traffic fee. Rules of the road, offenses. If it gets the $3 local traffic fee, it's going to get the $30. If it's a violation that you can issue a violate promise to appear on, it gets the $30. But this one, you only get to keep 5%. Are any of you testing at the end of this conference? If you're doing level 2, I think that's on there. Know that that's the only one that's 5%. Everything else is 10%. The state juror reimbursement fee is $4. We get to keep 10%. The state judicial supplement fee is $6. We keep 10%. This fee right here, the $6, we keep 60 cents of it. This, we're mandated to use it to promote the efficient operation of a municipal court and for the investigation, prosecution, and enforcement of traffic offenses. So that portion that we get to keep, the city can't just spend however they want. It doesn't go in just into your general fund and you get the city council gets to decide what to do with it at budget time. It has to be spent to promote the efficient operation of the court, which pretty much can be anything you think is, you know, will make you more efficient or make your court more efficient, and for the investigation, prosecution, and enforcement of traffic offenses. So I guess technically they could give some of that money to the police department. The indigent defense fee is $2. And we get to keep 10%. Now notice these with the asterisks say that these do not apply to parking or pedestrian offenses. So your parking and pedestrian offenses will not have those fees. The only one that will apply to parking and pedestrian is the $30. And we'll look at, if hopefully we'll have time, we'll look at that at the end of the class. I I hate to spend time too much. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because all this is going to change come September 1st. But last legislative session, the judicial support fee went from $4 to $6. They increased it by $2. Now, it should stay $6 this legislative session unless they call a special session and something changes with that. This is probably going to, there won't be a change to this fee. And it was effective January 1st. And I don't think these are in your notes. This part, this section's not in your notes. Government Code 51.607, I won't spend a whole lot of time on this either. But being that it's a legislative year, when we go to our legislative updates, there's going to be some bills that probably are not going to have the effective date when that bill goes into effect in it. And then just know that we have to look to this section of the government code to determine when that bill will go into effect. Is it going to be September 1st? Is it going to be January 1st? When will it go into effect? They call this the new indigent defense fee on this slide, but again, it's already 2 years old. But just know that that $2 will go, the fees will go to the fair defense account in county court. We send it into the state, but then the state's going to give it what we send in to the county court. Local court costs. Okay, this goes back, I believe, to the notes. Local child safety fund. And it could be two different amounts. It's going to be $20 if you have failure to attend school and parent contributing to non-attendance filed in your court. Do any of y'all do those in here? We don't. Just a couple. So you'll have the $20 local child safety fee of $20 added to those two violations. It's $25 if the offense was committed in a school crossing zone, or if the offense was passing a school bus. Then the fee is $25. So you probably have a lot more school zones maybe filed in your court than anything else. Now, the $25 fee, too, must be used for an existing school crossing guard program. First, if you have one of those, then it may be deposited into an interest-bearing account or spent on programs designed to enhance child safety, health, nutrition, abuse prevention, and drug and alcohol prevention. So, again, this $25 one here, both of these, the 20 and 25, they're, we can't just stick it in the general fund and the city can't just spend it however they want, okay? The local traffic fine is $3, and we've already kind of mentioned this. That's collected on the subtitle C, Rules of the Road Offenses, and it gives your chapters here, 541 through 600. So if that offense is located in those chapters, you're going to add the $30 state traffic fee and this $3 local traffic fine to it. These are also the violations that get the violate promise to appear charges when you issue your warrants. Everything outside of those chapters gets the FTA. Are there any questions about that? Everybody's tired and about to fall asleep? Not yet. Okay, let's look at some trial-related fees. And this usually gets a lot of questions because some people don't know that we can actually collect for these things. Summoning a defendant, we can charge $35. For summoning a witness, $5. For summoning a jury, $5. Summoning parents of juveniles, $35. A jury fee, if convicted at a jury trial, you can collect or should be collecting $3 for the jury fee. You can also charge for the officer's overtime for testifying. Now, this is only if they are not on duty, they're off, then you would have to have some method of knowing or way of knowing what to charge, an amount to charge for an officer's overtime. So you may have to take, you know, an estimate because you might have sergeants, patrolmen, and, you know, on down. that may get, you know, charged different amounts. But if you're going to do this, come up with some estimate of what they would get per hour for overtime. And then you can actually tack that on and collect that as part of court cost. Late withdrawal of a request for a jury trial. If they withdraw their request less than 24 hours, they say, I want a jury trial, and then 1 day before trial, they call and say, I don't want it, I want a plea, then you can charge them $3. And you can also charge them for failure to appear for jury trial. And that's the cost of what it would be. So here you would have to know, you would have to kind of come up with an amount again of what it cost you to summons a jury. Postage, paper, time, personnel time. You would come up with some amount, and then if they don't appear, you can charge them that amount as part of the court cost. And if you look, let's see if I can find it real quick. Let's look at this chart. This is a good time to stop and talk about this chart a little bit and look at some of these things. Let me see if I can find it. I believe it's on here. Okay, page 3, second one, should say jury trial failure to appear cost. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to be all off from y'all's, what y'all have in your book. Jury trial failure to appear. It shows you where you have the authority to collect that, the legal reference. It says it's optional, so you don't have to do it, but you can decide in your court that you want to do that. And it just tells you cost incurred to impanel a jury, and the city keeps 100% of that. Let me see if I can find the other one real quick. Conviction, okay, mine says page 4, so y'all's is probably page 3. Conviction by jury and failure to withdraw jury trial request within 24 hours. That is mandatory. That's not optional. So if you're not charging the $3 for if they're convicted or for late withdrawal, it is mandatory. You should be collecting those. Let me see which other one I want to find. We'll talk about that in a minute.
One day, jury was called in and the prosecutor settled like that morning.
If the prosecutor settles, I would not charge them that because they didn't go to trial one and they didn't withdraw their request. They showed up ready to go. So I wouldn't, that's a good question. Her question, did everybody hear that question? What if the prosecutor settles? I wouldn't charge it. If the defendant changes his plea, walks in and says, I don't want my trial, I just want a plea, then I charge it because he's withdrawing his request for a jury trial. Prior to actually...
In less than 24 hours.
Yes.
You know, the
right. They like to see who shows up. They want to see if the officer shows up. Yeah. They want to see all the people, or they see all the jurors sitting there looking at him like, I'm here because he... Right, $3 is not enough. This is one we should probably contact our Congress people and say we want that one raised. We should probably petition them to raise that. Yes. I hate jury trials. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. No. Okay. I think that's all of them on here that pertain to jury trials. Does anybody do teen court in here? A couple? You probably know the amount went from $10 to $20, or you could charge up to $20 probably, I guess. You could still charge $10 if you wanted to. It's an administrative fee and a program fee. Oh, but only in courts, I'm sorry, only in courts located in the Texas, Louisiana border region. I don't know why they chose them, not the whole state, but they did. And it was effective January 1st of 08. I don't think anything's changing with this. I haven't seen any bills even proposed to change any too much with teen court or the fees. Driving record fee, basically last legislative session, the legislature allowed us to collect the driving record fee for the defendant. Does anybody do that in here? I have not found one court that does that yet. Good deal. We're skipping it. If they can't be responsible enough to do that. Yes. Right. Right, exactly. Deferred disposition, costs and fees. And I think we've gotten away from the notes. I don't think this is in the notes. We'll come back to the notes here in just a second. The old law was that the court costs had to be paid, and they had to be paid up front when you requested deferred. Last legislative session, they changed it. Now the judge can allow the cost and fees to be paid in installments. There's an agreement required, and it has to be paid during the period of probation. Does anybody do this? Are you still requiring it? You're kind of letting them pay it out? Okay. Is it? How's it working? It's okay.
Mm-hmm. The current judge, he wants it all up front, don't bother me. And I'm thinking, there's people out there that need this.
Right. Now, we don't have too many problems with them paying the court cost.
He might, now that it's written this way, we might be able
to allow him to do it. Now, our judge, they still want the court cost up front. If somebody says, I can't, we'll say, okay, we'll give you 2 weeks. If they can't pay it in 2 weeks, then we'll give them 2 more weeks. Usually within that month, they get the court costs paid. Then we start the deferral period for the expense fee or the whatever it's going to be at the end. If they want to pay on that during the deferral period, we allow them to pay it. And we're going to talk about, this may be the appropriate time to talk about that. Her question is, do you charge the $25 time payment fee
if it's the day that you start the deferred, if it's the 31st day after the
no.
Day?
No. The only time...
There's no judgment.
Right. So the judge could give them 3 months. If your judge did it like my judge, where he won't start the deferral period until the court costs are paid, the judge could give them as long as they wanted and not ever have to charge them the $25 if they wanted to do that. And then on the deferral period, you can tell them, you know, pay it out over the, pay the expense fee or the what's due at the end of the deferral period, pay that out in installments, and you can allow them to do that. But that has to be 6 months, up to 6 months, and no more. Okay? Now, how many of you are doing it like that where you allow them, the defendant, to pay out in installments the expense fee or the slash fine? Let's call it the expense fee. Anybody else doing that? Do y'all require them to pay it like all at the end? All up front? Okay. Okay. So, okay, that was my next question. For those of you who are collecting it up front or collecting it in installments, where are you putting that money? In a bond account. Right. Good deal. If you collect on the expense fee slash fine before the deferral period's over, it has to be put into a bond account. Okay? Don't apply it to the fine. Don't apply it to the expense fee. Technically, when they pay their court costs and they're on deferred, the amount that's due at the end or whatever the judge is going to charge them at the end should stay sitting out there as fine, okay? At the end, when you either convert the bond or they pay the money at the end, then you should switch it from fine to expense fee, okay? Or you would leave it at fine if they defaulted on their deferral and the judge is entering a conviction. Does that make sense? Does anybody have questions about that? Good deal, because one class... Nobody was putting it in bond. So.
But I think the good thing about it being placed in bond is that once they meet the deferral period, it's closed.
You're right. Once it's placed in bond, then you don't have to worry about collecting that money. Whatever they need to do, like we have them sign an affidavit form. So some people were hassling to sign the affidavit form, but that's the way the judge wants to do it, so we do it. All we have to do is get that affidavit form signed, and you know, unless there's any other conditions, like they had to take a driving safety course or something like that, but then we're able to close out that deferral pretty quick because you have the money. If you're making them pay it at the end, that's fine. You're doing everything perfectly fine. If you're charging them, you know, or having them pay that amount that's due at the end up front, as long as you're putting it into a bond account, that's fine. You don't move it from the bond account until your other account until the end of the deferral period's over. Good deal. Let's see. They can require the court costs and fees to be satisfied by performing community service on a deferral. Judges have the authority to do that. Or it could be satisfied by installments or community service. Now, talking about that, if somebody's on a pay plan and they're making partial payments, the partial payment, whatever payments you receive up front, should be applied strictly to the court cost. They can be prorated between all the court costs, including the city's court cost, like technology and security fee, but they should be applied to the court cost first. Make sure your systems are doing that, okay? Then the fine is collected last. If you're applying jail credit or community service, it should be applied to the fine first and then to all your court costs. So if any money is coming in, if you're ever audited, and we'll probably talk about audits in a little bit more detail a little bit later on, but if you're audited, the first thing they're going to look for is, was any money collected on this and did it go to the court cost? Okay, so make sure your system, whatever you're using, is doing that. Okay, any red light camera people in here? I'm not sure if they repealed that or not, but that may all go away. Look, we get to skip all these. Dismissal fees, $10 and $20 dismissal fees. I'll tell you what, let's go back to the notes for a minute and let's get to the point where we talk about dismissal fees. Okay. In our notes, we're at expunction fee. To file a petition for expunction, you can charge $30. How many of you have done expungements, expunged a case? It happens very rarely. Just know you can charge $30 for that if somebody makes that request. I'm not going to talk about travel costs to convey prisoners. That could be a court thing, I guess. Okay. $10 administrative fees for driving safety course, request of the driving record, request for teen court, and completion of teen court. Just know that you may require those $10 admin fees. Okay, now we're at $10 compliance dismissals. Okay, if the defendant remedies the problem within 20 working days, the court has the authority to dismiss the following cases without a prosecutor's motion to dismiss: expired registration, expired DL, or may dismiss, and that those fees can be up to $20. Expired inspection, the judge has to dismiss it. It's a shall dismiss. If the inspection sticker were less than 60 days expired, and that fee as well can be up to $20. Is there anybody still doing 10? Everybody's doing 20? Okay. So if it's less than 60 days expired, the judge has to dismiss those. If it's more than 60 days expired, the judge has the discretion to dismiss them. The judge does not have to dismiss that one. Okay. Did they give you this chart in your materials? I didn't see it in there. Let me see if I can find mine real quick. The compliance dismissal chart. Do a lot of you use these in your court? We do all the time too. This has every compliance dismissal that we can do listed on there. Right. If on expired inspection, if it's expired more than 60 days, you do not collect a fee. It's just that the judge has the discretion to dismiss without charging anything. Yes. I know. And I'm fixing to turn your world upside down, I promise. In about 2 seconds, I'm going to turn your world upside down. But on this chart, it tells you which ones can be $20, which ones, pretty much the three that we just listed, can be $20, okay? Every other compliance dismissal is $10, okay? Come September 1st, let me find it. We're going to have a new compliance dismissal to add to our little beautiful chart right here, and it's on handicap parking violations. Now, I don't know about y'all. We have a lot of these filed in our court, but we're probably not going to be doing too many compliance dismissals. This bill, it's the dismissal of a charge of unlawfully parking a vehicle in a space designated specifically for persons with disabilities. It allows a $20 dismissal fee if the person's handicap tag is expired. So one, if it's in the vehicle and it's expired, they can cite them for that. If the person goes and renews it within 20 working days and brings it into the court, then we can charge a $20 dismissal fee. So there's our new one. Now, in our court, a lot of them don't have the handicap parking placard anyway. They shouldn't even be parking in that space because they don't have one at all. Nothing's wrong, you know. So we're probably not going to be doing a whole lot of these in our court. And if it's valid, it's dismissed. If it was never expired, then it won't be this. They won't pay the $20. If it was expired and they renew it within the 20 working days, then it'll be $20. If it was valid the whole entire time, they just didn't have it displayed, then it can be dismissed.
But no fee.
No fee, right. There was a bill to increase the fine. The minimum fine for those is $250 now. There was a bill to increase it to a minimum of $500. People complained about the $250. And I don't know if that one passed or not. I'm not sure where that bill's at. I don't think it was the same bill. I think it was separate. And this one just went through. I did see this one, but I haven't seen anything on the other one. So that may change too.
That's sort of like the expired DL. Within 20 working days, you renew.
Right. Right.
Did they pass one for the no insurance to charge a fee for that?
There was a bill to charge a $10 fee for if somebody didn't have their insurance with them and they brought it in and showed that they did have valid insurance. I have not seen that. I think it died. I have not seen anything on that. I could be wrong. Yeah. It was probably like this.
It looks like that, and mine was all colors, and it's the ones that were starting to show which ones.
Yeah. I have not seen anything on that one since it first came out on the list, so I'm thinking it died, which they've been trying to do that for years, and it's died every time. Yeah. Okay, deferred disposition, special expense fee, I think we've already talked about that. May be assessed and collected at the conclusion. We've said that. Okay. Discretionary driving safety course admin fee. A judge may assess and collect a non-refundable admin fee not to exceed the maximum amount of the fine. This is under the discretionary driving safety course provision. Do you do a lot of those in your court where they don't have the mandatory right to request the driving safety course? Maybe they had it 11 months ago. And instead of putting them on deferred, the judge can give them this other provision of the, and it's basically like a deferred. I never understood why they even have it on the books, because you can put them on deferred and do exactly the same thing.
And they're doing exactly $25.
Right.
Not more, the judge can
just allow that. Right. And charges an expense fee at the end.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay, restitution fee. I'm on that page. I'm not sure which page that is for him. Municipal court has authority to order restitution up to $500. If a restitution payment is made in installments, then the court may require a one-time fee of $12. $6 the city gets to keep, $6 goes to the comptroller for the compensation to victims of crime fund. Do any of you do restitution? Does your judge order it? We don't either, very rarely. Time payment fee. If a defendant pays any part of the fine, court cost, or restitution on or after the 31st day after judgment, the court must collect a $25 time payment fee. Now, you don't count the day the judge signs the judgment. You start with the next day and count 30 days. The mailbox rule does not apply to this. Section 111.054 of the tax code is what we need to look at, and that's the section that talks about timely filing. If it's mailed on or before the due date, then it is timely filed and timely paid. So you have to look at the due date. If they mailed it and you didn't get it till 10 days later, don't charge them the $25 time payment fee. Does that make sense? On the little, well, distribution, $12.50 to the city, $12.50 to the comptroller. The city must use $2.50 for improving the efficiency of the judiciary, and the other $10 can go into general fund for anything that the city wants to spend it on. So that $2.50 part of it is designated. When a defendant makes payments in installments, the money should be allocated first towards all court costs and fees. We kind of talked about this. And then towards the fine. And it gives you an example there. Fines for unsecured children. This is another one that's about to change for all of us. For the notes purposes, it says, upon conviction of an offense for an unsecured child, half of the fine collected must be remitted to the state. So if you're testing, that's probably going to be on the test. Remember half. Come September 1st, the entire fine is going to be sent to the state. Pretty much what they, right now, unrestrained child violations, the minimum fine amount is $100, the maximum is $200. That's going to be lowered to a max of $25. But we're going to have to send the whole fine to the state. And here's the other wonderful part. We're going to have to charge a 15-cent court cost. Now, I could just kick whoever wrote this. 15 cents. It couldn't be a dollar. It couldn't be even 50 cents. I'm not even into 50 cents. I mean, I wanted a dollar, period, because it's just easier. 15 cents. That's going to be used by the state to purchase, or by somebody, I'm not sure how this is going to work yet, to purchase safety seat systems. And I don't know who's going to get them. I don't know how you apply. I don't know that they've even worked all that out yet. But 15 cents is not going to pay for at a time. It's not going to pay for a whole lot of child safety seats.
Is it for the school buses?
No. Mm-mm. And this just says, relating to the offense of failing to secure a child passenger in a motor vehicle and to the fines for the offense. Seats needed for children to 8 years of age, so they've increased, and I'm sure y'all all heard about that because it's been on the news a lot. 8 years of age and are 4 foot 9 inches tall.
What if you have a child that won't be 4 foot 9 inches?
I won't. I can tell y'all. I have a little bitty one. She's six. She's going to be in a seat all her life.
I've got one that 3 inches.
Yeah.
Nine.
Right, right, right.
Well,
he's over eight, though, so he'll be okay. The fine's not to exceed $25, with the entire fine to be submitted to the state. When, let's see, this is my November 08 list, and we've had several lists come out since then. One of the last lists, and I don't remember if it was May, I think it was sent out in May, somewhere the 15 cent came in, and I'm not sure when they added the 15 cent court cost thing, but that was kind of stuck in at the end. So nobody really knew about it. It was like, oh, wait a minute, 15 cent court cost. Oh my God. So just know, right now we're supposed to be sending in half, and that report you have to send in at the end of your fiscal year. So whenever your fiscal year ends, that's when you should be sending in this half of the fines on these violations. I'm sure they're going to keep it the same. I'm sure they're going to keep that the same. We'll probably be sending in a separate report to DPS for that. Okay, back to the notes. Getting all this emotional stuff out of the way. I'm getting emotional about these things. Transportation code offenses. Fines for Title VII. Cities must use fine money for convictions of our title rules of the road violations. Speeding, stop sign, seatbelt, those things. We must use that money for construction and maintenance of roads, bridges, and culverts, and enforcement of laws regulating the use of highways by motor vehicles. So, your city should be tracking that fine money separately, okay? When you're collecting a fine for minor in possession of alcohol or theft or whatever, that fine money should go into a separate account. Your traffic fine money, the fine money that comes in on speeding and stop sign and those things, should be tracked separately. It can go into the same account. It's just you need to track it separately so you know how much you're bringing in that amount of money. Because the city technically each year at budget time should be saying, okay, the court brought in $100,000 in traffic fine money, and we're going to use that $100,000 to repave these streets or whatever, okay? So know that if you're audited or probably you're not going to be questioned over it. Probably your budget officer is. But they should be. In my city, when I started there, they didn't do that. It was fine, and all that money went into one single account. And of course, you know, when you went and said something to them, they're like, well, we spend way more on roads and bridges and things than what y'all bring in. Well, that's not the point. The point is that we should be able to track it separately. Excess highway fines. Is there population less than 5,000 in here where you have to worry about this? Yes. Double check it. So excess highway fines must be reported in cities with a population of less than 5,000 when the fines and special expenses for offenses under rules of the road, Title VII offenses, reach 20% or 30%. I thought it was 30. It's 20? It's 30. I don't know where the 20 is. 30? Okay, that's what I thought.
When it reaches
30% of the previous year's total revenue, then you have to give all of your fine money except for a dollar on each case. Is that right? Is that how that works?
That can be scary some
years. I bet. Yeah. And that is on the test. If you're testing, know that. I remember that. Okay, I think we're on the last page. It says more on fines, contracts, and collections at the top. Collection improvement programs. Cities with a population of over 100,000 must develop and maintain a program to improve in-house collections developed by OCA. This may all change. A lot of it may have already changed. But pretty much your bigger cities had to do this, had to comply. Department of Public Safety, Omnibase. How many of you use Omnibase? Quite a few. Cities may contract with DPS to deny renewal of a driver's license to a person who fails to appear, fails to pay, or fails to satisfy a judgment as ordered. The city must collect an additional $30 from the defendants once they're convicted. For each person in Omni, $20 goes to the state, $6 goes to Omni, and your city gets to keep $4. Now, the Texas Administrative Code says, if a case is dismissed, if the prosecutor recommends dismissal and the judge dismisses it, that defendant has to pay the $30 fee. We should be collecting the $30 fee. We haven't been. We've never collected it. But it does say that they're supposed to pay the $30 fee.
Does that also apply, say, giving time served on warrants, and these use warrant status on these.
So right. Her question is, what if you give them time served? Now, the AG came out with an opinion that said it's perfectly okay to allow them to do community service or jail time for those fees.
But if it's just dismissed.
If it's just dismissed, right, right. If there's some exceptions. If it's a no insurance or a fail to display driver's license, because in the statute, those two offenses specifically say that it's a defense to prosecution, then we don't have to have them pay the $30 fee. But it says if it's just dismissed, they have to pay the $30 fee. Like I said, we haven't been doing it.
What if the judge waives that $30 fee?
I think the only time they could waive it is if they're indigent.
So you say for no insurance and no driver's license, no insurance, no driver's license.
If they present their insurance that they had it 5 years ago, or if they present a DL that they had 10 years ago, and it was valid, then you don't have to. They don't have to pay the $30 fee. Now in Omnibase, you would put what I do on those. You have your pleas. I put not guilty if it's an insurance or DL or if it's dismissed, and then I put acquitted, because they know that means I'm not sending them their share of the money. If it's jail time, if it's served, there's that little one that says jail. I code it that away. They know I'm not sending them. The only time I'm going to pay them is when it says convicted.
Mm-hmm.
Right, $30. Right, yes. Right.
How are you coding your community service?
How am I coding the community service? I don't think they have one for community service. We don't have too many that do community service.
We do. I'm just putting it under other and just putting something in the description
bill. Pretty much, Omnibase has been pretty nice to all of us, I think, in that when they send us that bill, they expect you to write out to the side which ones you're paying them for, if like it's a big old long list. But I try to limit, because I think that they have way too many. I'll use the one that says death if the person's deceased, you know, that sort of thing. But I just think that they have too many choices out there, you know, either acquitted, convicted, and that's all we need, you know. Yeah. So, but, you know, if you put down, you know, that you're going to pay in the $6 for this one, and this one, they don't usually disagree. Right, no. And I've never had them question.
I did a lot of dismissals when I first came on that were cases from the previous I'm the judge in the park. That's my video. I can say
yeah.
I did. But because some of the cases were, I couldn't even find paperwork on
right.
it.
Well, one of my fears, and I don't think they'll, you know,
no.
If you didn't collect the fee, they're not going to make you pay it,
yeah.
Obviously. Omnibase isn't. And my fear with having them pay the $30 is, what if we're audited and the state comes in and says, oh, you collected $30, why did you put it to that fee when you should have prorated it to all the other ones? Well, it was a dismissal, so I guess we could probably argue that, but I just think it could cause a lot of grief, and we haven't been collecting the $30 fee. Yep.
You collect that $30 fee, you put it in there through cash collections, you have no control over
no.
where it's going to...
No, you would have to go and zero out...
I would have to zero out everything but
the $30. $30, so it would post to that $30, right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And then it doesn't come up dismissed.
No. You would have to
go back
and it's going to put a conviction date in there.
No, the
AG said that is a fee that they can lay out or they could do community service for. So you would not collect it. You would just show, you know, whenever the judge figures up how many hours he's going to give that defendant, you would, you know, they can include the $30. Okay, we're going to finish this and then we're going to talk about audits. Excess motor carrier fines. The city may keep fines in an amount not to exceed 110% of the municipality's actual expenses for enforcement in the previous year. Over gross weight violations, what you need to know there, upon conviction for overweight vehicles, half of the fine collected must be sent to the state each quarter. Parent contributing to non-attendance. If a parent is convicted, half of the fine goes to the school district in which the child attends school, the other half to the city's general revenue. Now you do that, right? You do the parent contribute. So what if they're in, like, what if they're on my side of the world? Let's say they're in school in Brenham. You would have to send it to Brenham? How do you do that?
I wouldn't even attempt to
convict a case. Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. If I'm convicting that parent, that child is in my school district.
Right, that's right. That's true. I'm so glad we don't do this. But then you send them a check? Okay.
Send them, write a check out of the general fund?
Yeah, but that's what we
do. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that's y'all and not me. Yeah.
Well, I've got enough that I just, at the end of the physical year, I total it up and send the school to check.
What I'm collecting is most of them are paid parents. Most of them are what?
A lot of those parents are on a time payment plan.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I send it right. Once they have completed.
Yeah, once they've completed. And that's the reason I just come up to the tail end of the year and whatever I collected that year.
I'm glad it's you, not me. That's what I'm going to say. Private collection contracts. A city can contract with a private vendor for collection services when a case is 60 days past due, and we may charge up to a 30% collection fee. Now, let me make sure I didn't skip anything. Let me go back to arrest fees. We didn't talk about that. It says other possible costs and fees at the top, and then it says the first one is arrest fee. We can charge a $5 arrest fee, and it applies when a peace officer does what? Issues a citation. Yes. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. I think we'll have time to go pick some violations and look at the different court costs. Warrant fee, $50 warrant fee, applies when a warrant or KPS is processed or executed by a peace officer. So if you're working on the warrants and they haven't been signed by the judge yet, and that defendant comes in and pays that citation, you can't charge, you have to delete it off. An additional special expense fee, not to exceed $25, may be authorized by local ordinance for warrants issued for FTA and VPTA. How many of you charge the extra $25 fee? Is there anybody? There's not a whole lot that do that either, but more and more cities, some of us are becoming interested in that. Let's just put it that way. You do have to have an ordinance. That's the important thing to know there. They did have a bill to increase the 50 to 75. But I haven't seen where that's passed. That may have died as well. Have not seen anything on that. One thing before we talk about auditing. The credit card fee. Our cities can charge up to 5% credit card processing fee if we take payments by credit cards. Make sure that your city is doing that, that it's not more than 5%, okay? It can be 1%, it can be 2%, it could be just not more than 5%. If you have a collection agency, or no, I'm sorry, not a collection agency. If you have an outside vendor that you have contracted with to take payments by phone, and maybe they charge a flat fee of $15, just make sure it's not more than 5% of what is owed. So you have to be careful when they get into charging these flat fees. when you're doing contracts and that. Just be aware of that. As long as it doesn't exceed 5% per payment of what is owed. So if they owe $50 a month, then it can't be more than 5% of that $50. If they're paying $260, boom, one lump sum, it can't be more than 5% or whatever the percentage is that your city selects. So just be aware of that.
You get up to $207 is $7 a month.
Right.
And
5%. Right. Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. No, I would go in a professional manner, sit down and have everything. I don't. Financial procedures, yes. Yes. Yes.
Issues just by her having that book when there's questions come up, then she has, and I gave it to her. I didn't keep it. I gave it to her.
And I think that book has this chart. This chart has saved me a lot of times because I pulled this little old chart out and said, it says right here, you know. The financial management book, if you're working on level 3, that is one of the reading books, one of the 18 or so books for level 3. And that book will be updated after legislative update. The other book, the Practices and Procedures Guide, is not on the reading list. So right now, because TCCA has published those books, we're in this big discussion about whether we're going to update that, and if so, how we're going to update it. And pretty much we all kind of feel like clerks love that book too, not just the financial one.
Yeah.
So,
good, especially if you've got someone brand new walking in.
Right.
That's greener than right. At least they can read through it, get a good
understanding,
concept
right.
of what's going on, and then expound on that
right.
with the judge and the
right.
whatever your court's.
So if you don't know what we're talking about, the two books that we're talking about, the Texas Court Clerks Association has two books out there that you can purchase. One is a financial management book, which is the one that's on the level 3 list. The other one is like a procedures guide, and it has like, you know, what the procedures are for DSC, for deferred. It kind of breaks it down and gives you a checklist
yeah.
in there. And you can purchase those. And so if... Through TCCA, Elaine Brown and Katie is the one who, it's on the website, yeah. Elaine Brown and Katie handles that, right. 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 And the financial management one, we know for sure is going to be updated after legislative update because it's on the reading list. We just don't know if the other one... We're hoping the other one will, so because we think a lot of clerks who use that. I mean, I know I use it. So, yeah. It's just we may not print the whole book. We may do inserts or something, yeah, because it's so costly. Okay, auditing. How many of you have ever been audited in here? No, one. Just one? One class I had, almost the whole room had been audited, and that was in the Dallas area, so that's kind of interesting. That's kind of interesting now that I think about it. Okay, I'm going to pick on you. Tell the rest of the group what happened. Were you there when you were audited?
The state audited us.
Yes. Yep. Okay, so what happened?
She came in and made sure that we were paying our court costs, and it turned out we weren't. So we got that fixed.
So when she came in, what did she do? What was the first thing she did? Okay, first of all, let me ask this. Did you know? Did you know that they were coming?
They did say that she was coming, but we didn't know when.
And Little M's in the Metroplex, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw that. Okay. okay. So she came in, and what did they ask to look for?
She, I don't know if my supervisor kind of handled most of what she wanted, but
okay.
She printed out. But she wanted to look to make sure our fines were being
Okay, and do you know when you say that your court costs weren't being, what did they tell you again? Say that again.
Well, we weren't charging the town payment fee right. That we weren't adding on right. And then we had a $2 fine that was short. We had $4 and it was supposed to be $6. I mean, she made sure that our...
That you were collecting the right court cost. For one, okay. And then two, that it was prorating correctly or that the payments that were made.
Yeah.
Okay.
She looked at a whole bunch of cases.
From what I understand, they'll come in and they'll say, I want to see cases for 5 years back.
Okay.
4 years back. Maybe it was four. 4 or 5 years back. And you basically, you know, depending on how your system's set up, you basically have to go and pull everything that they want to see. You know, run reports, whatever. Whatever it may be. One court was a small court, and she said she had to actually pull case files. They had to pull case files. Boxes of files. And then there were some issues where they said that the state said you should be collecting it this way, and this person that was telling us this story in one of the sessions said, I basically argued my point as to why we were doing it that way, and they gave in a little bit on that. But pretty much, if they find out that you've been collecting a fee that you shouldn't have been, you will have to refund it. Okay? You may have to pay into the state the state's portion. You know, they're not going to worry about the city's portion. They're going to worry about the state's portion. So auditing can be serious. It can make your life a living nightmare. You want some good, valid procedures in your court. Especially if you're a small court or maybe you're doing everything, you want to kind of have some of the duties broken up if you can. I know that that's kind of hard to do when you're everything, you know, you want a paper trail, you want whatever, you know, there's things that you can do, you know, that may not necessarily mean staff, but there's things that you can do. You know, in my court, we have 2 other full-time people, I'm full-time, so there's 3 full-time and 1 part-time clerk. We don't have time to go back always and look at cases to make sure, okay, did all these court costs go right? You know, we don't have time to do that. And I'll tell you, there's a fairly good-sized city in the Austin area that a new court administrator had come in. She had worked for another city. She came in. When she came in, some of her staff had told her, you know, one of the things is we don't have time to go back and double check what's being done on these cases, things like that. That's one thing we wish we could do, and we're not. We think that we may have problems on some of these cases. So she decided at that point in time, we're going to start doing some, you know, research. We're going to go back and look at these cases and see what's happening. Well, when she did that, she found out that they were doing a lot of things that they shouldn't have been doing. Collecting fees when they shouldn't have been collecting them, things of that nature. So they pretty much did their own audit, and their city decided to reimburse the money before the state came in and said it. They just decided, hey, we want to make things right. But they ended up having to reimburse a lot of money, lots and lots of money to defendants. To the defendant, yeah. So... You know, and I've even had a couple of people tell me that when the comptroller, it was so much money that the state said, you're going to have to reimburse this money plus some interest to these people. There was a court that was doing pretrial diversion agreements. Have y'all ever heard of those? I hate those things, like jury trials. We had a prosecutor that was doing pretrial diversion agreements on CDL cases. Yeah. Yeah, he wasn't a very ethical person in the first place, and we had a situation where we had a court administrator, court clerk, who was city secretary. She left and became city secretary, okay? He had defendants agree outside of the court did not know about it. Agree to do these pretrial diversion agreements and pay some money to the city. The money went and was deposited by the other person into a miscellaneous revenue account. Yeah. And then he would send down a dismissal motion with, you know, just a reason. Right. And then our judge signed off on some
exactly.
of them.
And the court didn't know why. Well,
you know how we found out? One had an attorney. The attorney sent us the money. We opened the mail and went, what is this? Copy of the agreement in there. What is this? That's how we found out. Fortunately, we found out early enough that it wasn't too costly, but you can bet once my judge found out that our city refunded that money in a heartbeat. Yes. Yes. It was all CDL cases. Yes, ma'am. No, because it was all done outside of the court. We never collected any money.
Oh, okay.
We didn't collect it.
Okay.
He had somebody else put money in and deposit it.
Yeah, I understand.
Let me tell you.
But I'm saying for the dismissal and the state know that this person has a commercial driver's license, shouldn't they have picked that up or something?
No, because the state doesn't see the dismissals. Right. You don't send those in. So, you know, they don't know that. But, you know, I mean, when that money came in, I went straight to the finance director, went to the judge first, went straight to the finance director after that. She went and started pulling up accounts. She's like, what account could they be putting this money in? You know, I mean, we had to get our city manager involved. We had to bring TMCC down to talk to everybody, including him, to say, stop it and stop it now. You know? No. No. That was years ago. We've moved on, thank God. We have moved on. Yes. Yes. He's gone. He practices, though. He's picking up clients in our court. I'm like, oh, God. Yeah. Not any fun. Okay. Let's take the last little bit. Let me see how I want to do this, because I don't write very pretty. Let's look at some violations, and let's... Do y'all have the court cost chart in your handouts? I think it's a chart, though, not that one. Like, it would look like this. Do y'all have any of that? Okay, let me ask you, who brought your offenses listing from your court? It's in the back?
Oh.
Yeah, it is. Okay, it's in the very back of the book, she said. Did anybody bring their list of offenses? Okay. Well, you might want to get those out. Is there any offense in particular that you, those of you that brought it, or even if you didn't bring it, that you have a question about, if you're charging the right court cost?
The overweight.
Why do you have to pick a hard one? I don't want to do that one. Why did I ask that question? That'll teach me not to ask ever again, you know? DPS. Let me see how I want to do this. I don't know if I have my other chart. Ooh, I'm never going to ask that question again. I should have known as soon as it came out of my mouth. No. It can vary by city. And I'm glad you brought that up because we did not talk about technology, security, and juvenile case managers. Is there anybody that's doing juvenile case manager? One? Okay. Technology? Security? Is there anybody that doesn't do any of those? So everybody does something, some part of that. Okay. All right. Let me see. I want to do this. I should have just picked my own. I'm kicking myself right now. Yeah, great. Yeah, give me a day or two so I can go back and figure it out. Well, it doesn't say anything about overweight on here. So I'm assuming, what section is that? Do you know offhand? Where are my, what did I do with them? Okay, it says, now here it refers to chapter 621, 506 in the transportation code, which that probably says we have to send half of the fine to the state. So that would be state law and probably all other misdemeanors. It doesn't, they don't fall under the transportation code, right? Okay. I mean, under like 545 rules of the road, any of that. So I'm guessing it would be all other misdemeanors, which would be if the fine is $500 or less, then you would charge $40 consolidated, the $4 state juror reimbursement fee, the $6 judicial support fee, and the $2 indigent defense fee, plus the arrest fee if it was by a certified, if they issued a citation, your technology fee if you charge that, your security fee, and your juvenile case manager in your case, because you do collect that. Yes. That book is nice. Hold that book up for a second. How many of y'all have this book? It's nice, but if you don't know the section that the violation's in, that book don't mean anything.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. I've used it so much to
that you learn it, and that's good.
Well, you see, I've got my
yeah, that's good, you know, but it just takes a while for you to get your book organized. Right. Speaking of that book, I'm glad you shared that. Let me, while this comes to my little brain, let me mention this. In that book, under for the driving while license invalid violations, I think it says that the fine is the maximum of 200 in there.
Mine says 500. Driving while license suspended or
invalid? Invalid, DWLI. The one that was a Class B that they made a Class C. It's now a Class C.
Well, DWLI, under the driver's license laws, 1 to 500 is
$500. Okay. It is a maximum of $500. There was some confusion about that at one time by some people thinking that it was only $200, but it is a max of 500. Max is 500. Yes. Okay. Let's look at parking in a handicap space. I like to start with this one. Because I had this one, we were collecting the wrong fees on this one. That's why I like to talk about this one. Because until I started teaching this class, we were collecting the wrong fees. Parking in a handicap space, there should be a chart for parking offenses, court cost, a separate chart. Do y'all see that chart? Mine's pretty and in color, and y'all's is going to be in black and white. But it says parking offenses, court cost at the top. 25 at the back. And this chart does say offenses committed on or after December 1st of 05. Right now, that is the most up-to-date chart, okay? And if you look under state law, and then where the one says transportation code, chapter 681, privileged parking, you'll see that we don't collect any state court cost. Under local court cost, if you go down to the bottom chart, the only cost you're going to have there is the $5 arrest fee if it was issued by a certified peace officer. If you collect the tech fee, you're going to have $4. $3 if you collect the security fee. Ooh, this thing is not good. And $5 if you do the juvenile case manager. So the total court cost on a parking in a handicap space is $17. If you don't collect the juvenile case manager, it's going to be $12. So right now the minimum fine on that is $250. If you're charging the minimum of $250, your court cost would be $17 with the juvenile case manager, $12 without. So that's the most you could, you know, if you're doing the minimum fine amount, that's what your cost would be, your total amount. We had the $30 fee in there because the $30 fee is collected on the others, and we'll look at that in just a second. So I had to go back and change mine because we were overcharging for that. Parking subtitle C offenses, those offenses that fall in chapter 545, they're going to be either in 301, 302, or 307. This is like parked facing traffic, parking with wheels over 18 inches, parking in a prohibited area. I'm trying to think what else is in there. If you have a city ordinance on parking, you're going to go, you're going to look on the chart underneath ordinances.
Oh, okay. And it's still, you can't charge that $30.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Regardless.
Right. So if your parking violations fall within that 545, 302, 303, or 307, you are going to charge the $30 fee. Because that is in... Those parking violations are in the rules of the road section. And then you would charge the $3, this is the state traffic fee, $3 local traffic. You would do the $5 arrest if it was issued by a certified peace officer. And then if you have your tech, security, and juvenile case manager. You would have a total of $50 for the court cost, $45 if you don't have the juvenile case manager. And if it's a parking violation in a school zone, you would charge the $25 local child safety fee. So it could be possibly $75 if they're in a school zone. $50 or $45 if it's not. Does that make sense? Are there any questions about those, about parking violations? No, no. Right, right. And it's private property, right. Which your yeah, your parking, your other ones could be on private property, possibly. But it's just that those are in subtitle C, whereas handicap parking is in chapter 681.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Okay, let's look at, let me get the other chart. The regular court cost chart should say effective on or after January 1st. So between now and September, we can all look at this one, and then we'll include our 15-cent court cost. Let's talk about city ordinances. How many of you have city ordinance violations filed by a health inspector? Health inspector, building inspector, code enforcement. Are they certified peace officers? No, most of them aren't. Okay. So let's say this one is issued by a code enforcement officer that is not a certified peace officer. And this is your ordinance violation. So you're going to look under the top of the chart. There's a parking, for parking ordinances, pedestrian, and other municipal ordinances is where you're probably going to look, where you have punishable by a fine of 200 or less, 201 to 500 or 500 and less. It tells us what those court costs should be. So for a city ordinance violation, you're going to have $40 state consolidated, $4 state juror reimbursement, $6 judicial support fee, $2 indigent defense fee, and then these are what I call the state court cost. The local court cost, $3 security, $4 tech, and $5 juvenile case manager. So in this situation, you don't collect the $5 arrest fee because it's a code enforcement officer who is not a certified peace officer. If your code enforcement officer is certified, then you would tack on the $5 arrest fee. So that this is a total of 64 here. Could be 69 if they're certified for your city ordinance violations. Insurance violations, because they fall in Chapter 601, they're outside of the rules of the road. I'm going to put CO for city ordinance. This is insurance. You have $40 consolidated fee, $4 state juror reimbursement fee, $6 state judicial support fee, $2 indigent defense fee, a $5 arrest fee, because it was by a certified peace officer, and then you have $3, $4, and $5 if you do security, tech, and juvenile case manager. So our total there would be 69. Let's do one more. Speeding. You would have $40. Oop, I can't write. $4 juror reimbursement fee. $6 judicial support. $2 indigent defense, $5 arrest fee. Oh, I'm looking at the wrong one. $30 state traffic fee. I went out of order. I'm sorry. $3 local. And then your $3, $4, and $5 security, tech, and juvenile case manager. So this is for a violation inside Subtitle C, Rules of the Road. You're going to have the 30 and the 3, the 40 consolidated, $4 juror reimbursement, $6 judicial support, $2 indigent defense fee, $5 arrest fee, and then your 3, 4, and 5 for security, technology, and juvenile case manager. So that should be 102. Is that 102? Or 97 if you don't collect the 5. And after September 1st, it's going to be $102.15. Sorry, I can't get over that. 15 cents is a bigger pain, yeah. I remember when it was 62 and 25 cents or whatever. And all our fines were $50.75, so that's what we're going to have to... If we if this occurred in a school zone, then we would add the $25 child safety, and it would be a total of $127 or $122. Are there any questions about that? Yes. It's a good idea to go back every so often and review. And usually every 2 years is when I do it, because of a lot of times that's when we change our fines. If we're going to change our fines, we do it after legislative update because court costs are changing. So that's when I sit there and review it. But I try to go through everything. And in ENCODE, which is what I use as well, we can print out an offense list, and it'll tell us what the court costs are. Yeah. Right. It'll tell you what it was. Right. But at least you can go back and just kind of make sure that you are charging the right things on the right violations. Be sure and look at the handicap space, because like I said, that one I wasn't collecting correctly. You know, and there may be some other ones. It's always a good idea just to make sure, especially if you're having to go in and set up your own tables and ENCODE like we have to sometimes. You know, something can get left out. So are there any other questions? Look at this. We finished 15 minutes early. Boy. Does anybody want to come up and sing and dance for the last 15 minutes?
We did not take a break.
And you didn't take a break. That's right. See, you're allowed. That's right.
We're allowed.
Well, I've enjoyed it. It's always nice to get to go to a different part of the world that you're not used to going to very often. And the TCCA Clerks Conference will be in Abilene in October. You go, yeah.
I'm in flight. I'm going to sleep in my own bed and drive in every day.
Oh, my Lord. Well, that's nice. That's nice.
And then I get to bring my husband to
the banquet.
To the banquet.
Oh. Cool. 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 Well, we are, if you've never been to a TCCI conference, it is very educational, very informative, and you have a good time all at the same time, right? Was that an accurate statement?
I have taken a lot of time off and taken a lot of flack from my husband to attend.
It is kind of a long conference. We are looking at shortening the number of days, but it's a lot of fun, and it's going to be very educational. And this year's... You think so? We'll talk after class. No. No. But if you've never been to one, you should probably try to attend one once, just to see what it's for. If you're doing, or if you've achieved your level 3, you have to keep or do 20 hours of education each year. So that's how I get my 20 hours in, is at the conference, and I don't have to worry about it after that. But it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of vendors, all different kinds of vendors for everything you want to do in your court. So there's a wonderful vendor show there. And this year, like I said, it's going to be on a lot of y'all, those of you who are from this area, it's going to be on your side of the world this year.
And it's in an MGM Elegante,
just like this, and the hotel's very nice.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
Yes. 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 So... if you want information on that, visit the TCCA website. That's all I'm going to say. Y'all go and have a nice evening. I hope y'all have a good trip home. It was nice to meet most of you, because I don't think I've ever met a lot of y'all here before. But it was really nice. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Oh, don't clap.